All right, Exodus chapter number 20 tonight. Been kindly working my way through these 10 commandments, and I understand that's probably controversial in a lot of places, but I do believe they are God's moral law. I want to read verse number 15, pray, and then we'll see what God has for us. Exodus chapter number 20, verse number 15, very simply stated, has four words in it: thou shalt not steal. Our dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you tonight, and Lord, I just want to openly confess my inabilities, Lord, my inadequacies, and really my failures. I'm just a failure within myself. But Lord, you called me and put me in this work, and I ask you to help me now for a little while. Let me be a blessing, a help to your people. Please use me. If there's any unconfessed sin in my life, please forgive me for it. Cleanse me. Make me that vessel of honor that you can use. Help us now. Help us to get focused in on you and see what you have for us this evening. And Lord, when it's all said and done, you must increase and I must decrease if anything's going to be accomplished. And Lord, if anything's accomplished, if there's any one thing, I ask that you be glorified tonight out of all that's said and done. We'll praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. All right, a very short statement tonight. If you were to go to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, New Testament doctrine, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. And so we see this truth taught in the New Testament. And I guess I've really been trying to preach anyway, more from a practical standpoint, a shoe leather type messages, I guess. And so I want to do that tonight. And I want to look, we know it's wrong to steal, but I want to look at some different ways of stealing. What does that word steal mean? And of course everybody knows, but sometimes it's hard to put things in words even though you know the meaning. That's why I like to look them up sometimes just to help me say what I know. Look this up in the Strong's. The root word in the Greek means this: to thieve, just what you'd think, to carry away, get by stealth means secret act, to get by stealth. And so it's taking what belongs to somebody else. And we could talk about that maybe at length, but I want to go to Malachi. I want to try to just go a little bit different direction tonight. I want you to go to the book of Malachi. And read a scripture that most of you all could quote, but Malachi chapter number 3. Say amen if you're there. Let me give you just a minute. Seems like there's a few more turning. Okay, in Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 8, the Bible says this: will a man rob God? You all heard message after message on this. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. That's what God said to him. You've robbed me. You've we think of robbing, sticking a gun to somebody and taking what they have, stealing their stuff. But God said here, you've robbed me. You've stole from me. I could say it that way. Don't think I do too much damage to the Scriptures. Well, a man robbed God, you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? Have we robbed you? We didn't take anything from you. That's what they're saying. We didn't go get your stuff and slip around. And so he's going to tell them. They don't understand. He says he's been robbed. He's been stolen from. But they said, we've not took anything. But he's going to expand this idea of stealing. It's a little more than just taking some things. Notice what he says, will a man rob God? Yet you've robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he answers the question in tithes and offerings. Now here's what they were doing. They were holding back what they should have given, and God called it robbery. Now you stop and think about that for a little minute, for just a moment. They were not giving what they should have given financially, and God says, you're stealing from me, you're robbing me, you're thieving me. Whoa. They wasn't taking anything, they just failing to give what was his. They already had it. Now, that adds a little bit to it. Do you have something tonight that belongs to God? Well, I know your body does. I know that belongs to him. And if you're holding out on him, you're holding out on what belongs to him. You have been bought with a price, you're not your own. This thing's not about you anymore. You don't even belong to yourself. It's not your call, what you do with your body. It's God's property. And if you're going to be right with God, he needs to dictate what you do with your body. I say amen to that. That's right. And so here's the little concept we get from that. It's more than just going and grabbing somebody's merchandise and running off with it, but it's failing to give what's rightfully due them. Now that's gonna add a wrinkle to this thing of thou shalt not steal. And so I want you to get that truth down. And then I want you to notice, I'm gonna read these to you for just the sake of time, and I won't keep you long tonight, I don't think. Exodus 19 in verse 5 says this, all the earth is mine. The Lord said this, all the earth is mine. Leviticus 25 and 23 says this, the land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine. We can go to Haggai chapter. Well, let's go to Psalms 50 and verse 10. You don't have to turn. I'm just going to read to you. He said this in Psalms 50 and 10, for every beast of the forest is mine. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. Now he said, the earth is mine, the land is mine, the beast of the forest is mine, the cattle is mine. But I want you to look at, or I want to read in Haggai 2 and 8. He said, the silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now really, I might could find a few more of those, but really what the Lord's saying, it's all mine. That's what He's saying. Hey, you say, well, I've got a house, it's the Lord's. He's letting you borrow it for a little while. You're just an occupant. You say, I've got it paid for. You're just a tenant. You're just there for a little while. Somebody else is going to take it over and run with it for a while. That's right. And so we see this, and the truth that's taught, if you really stop and think about it, the philosophy, and I kind of hit a stump with this, I think, when I mentioned it previously, but there's a biblical philosophy, if it all belongs to the Lord, there's a biblical philosophy we ought to have, and that is we're just overseers of what He's given us. We're just overseers of it. Everything you have, Alan, you may not owe a thing for it. God's just blessed you to oversee it for a while. And that puts a twist, that puts a little different, it ought to put a little different outlook on things. God has just allowed us to borrow what's His for while we dwell here to make our life a little easier. And so here's what we should say, all that I have is Christ. Amen. Everything you have belongs to the Lord. It don't seem like it's going over any better than it did, but that's how it is. He owns it all. It's His. It all belongs to Him. And here's what we all say, nothing I have is mine, it's His. Now that gets on real touchy ground right there. Because we've got this mentality that this is my money. And this is my land. And this is my house and my automobile, and I understand what we're saying, and we take pleasure in that. And it's almost as if there's that human gratification that I have some things. That I have some things. But can I tell you, that's dangerous ground when you start thinking it's mine. Because it's God's. And I don't preach much like this that I don't think about what Brother Don Hook said when he went to Mexico. God started dealing with him, go to Mexico, and he said, "Well, God, I can't go to Mexico. I've got a home here. And I've got, I don't remember if it's 5 or 10 acres, and I've got 2 kids that live down the road, and I've got all these things you've given me, and I can't go to Mexico." And then he said it just hit him. He was putting the blessings ahead of the blessor. How many times do we do that? If it belongs to God and He says, "Give it up for me," are we stealing? Are we not giving Him what's rightfully His? You see, I believe this. I believe things hinders a lot of God's people in going on with God. Our things. The more things we have, the more upkeep we have. Isn't that so? Do you not know people that's had to miss? And we ought to take care of our stuff. I don't want you to think, when God blesses us with something, we ought to take care of it the best we can. Be appreciative and thankful for it. I'm not saying that. But when it comes down to God saying, "Hey, I want you to take care of this so you can do this," I'm afraid sometimes we say, "God, that's mine." And God's saying, "Give it up or sell it or get rid of it or dispose of it or loan it out." And we say, "Sorry, that's ours." I think to be jealous or possessive of the blessings of God when He's dealing with us to turn loose of them, I think that's stealing from the Lord. He did. Let me read this to you again. All the earth is mine. Leviticus 25:23. For the land is mine. And I understand the context. But the fact of the matter is the land is His. Every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle on 1,000 hills is mine. The gold and silver is mine. I've got another one down. I didn't give you this one. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get, you know what the next word is? Wealth. You say, "Hey, I worked that out myself." You wouldn't have God hadn't give you blessed you with good health and strength and knowledge to do what you're doing. That's exactly right. You won't make it out. And you know, what I'm telling you, you know, you wouldn't make it out of the building tonight if God didn't help us to do that. Everything you have If you work for it, God blessed you to get well. He blessed you. If you've got a pocket full of money, God blessed you to get that money. Amen. I'm trying to lay some groundwork for you. I'm convinced we steal from the Lord more times than we even realize it. I believe that. Let's just talk a minute. Number one, we steal from God with our money. We read that in Malachi. That's the context. They were failing to give their tithe. By the way, I'm just going to tell you where I stand. I know every preacher don't stand there. Everybody don't see it that way. I think the tithe belongs to God. When you tithe, you not give God anything. That's His anyway. That's like buying a car and paying the payment on it. You didn't give the car company anything. They give you a car. You're just paying for what you already have. Hey, that money belongs to God. I really don't know if you're giving anything till after you pay the tithe. That's food for thought for you anyways. How do you give somebody something that's his? That ain't a gift. You're just returning what's been given to you. What he's loaned to you, if I could say it that way. And so, first of all, we can rob God with our money. They rob God in tithes and offerings. Not just tithes. Now here's what some people do. They figure that tithe out to the buried penny. And they drop in the buried penny. And they feel like they've done God a favor and they've done what they're supposed to and they have done what they're supposed to. But he said, you've robbed me in offerings. We take up a few special offerings around here. Listen, I'm not fussing at this church on money. If you look back there on the board, we gave almost $10,000 Sunday morning. I'm not fussing at this church. If you count the missions and count the offerings, I see some of you looking back there. We gave almost $10,000. I'm not fussing about your giving. I don't have to preach on giving, but this is what God's put on my heart to preach through these, and this is where we're at. You can rob God with your money. You can rob Him with the tithe. You can rob Him with the offerings. The tithe belongs to God. And when you withhold it, you're robbing Him. You're stealing from Him. And I don't think anybody in this building would argue with that. I don't think you would. You say, well, I'm about grace giving. Grace always goes farther than the law does. That's right. Grace says don't lust after that woman in your heart. The law says just don't commit physical adultery. That's what it says. That's the way that... Of course, I think the law, the intent of the law was to cover all of it. You'll find grace will take you and will require more out of you than the law will. And so if the law requires the tithe and the offerings, my, where does that put us at? But then, not only in the money. By the way, let me just go over. I was going to wait and get on it in when we went back to Timothy. I hadn't finished that yet. But I want to read what Paul told young Timothy to do to those that had money, to the rich. And I know we ain't none of us rich, but there may be some of you sitting on a little pot full of money. I don't know. It says in verse 17, chapter 6, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Now here's what he's saying. Timothy, you preach to them that's got the money and you tell them here's what they ought to do. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, and willing to communicate. Here's what he's saying. You tell them to use their money for my glory. Now that's what will happen to you if you serve God. Somewhere God will come and say, you need to give them $100. Or you need to give so-and-so $50, whatever it is. If you've got the money, it belongs to God anyway, even if you have paid your tithes. That's God's money. If He puts it on you to give it, you better be obedient and give it. That's right. I'm telling you right. It may hurt you, but you better do what God's told you to do. And so he lays that groundwork. God, I think God blesses certain people so they can help financially. I'm thinking about a fella down at the Morning Star Baptist Church. God blessed him hand over fist to make money in his life. I mean, he was a money man. And I can tell you some of the things. He had over 900 head of cattle at one time. You can just figure about what that was worth. And different things. But he had all kinds of money. And he used that to help people. I know of several. He didn't make a big deal about it. But I know of several instances he helped people in need. When I first started preaching, he brought me $2,000. And he said, I'm going to give this to you to start on the radio. I believe that's what the Lord had me to do. And man, from there I just started. And here we are. And so I'm saying to you, don't rob God with your money. But then I want to say to you, don't rob God with your love. Don't rob Him with your love. Matthew chapter 23. I preached on this not too long ago. I said 23. I believe it's 22. Verse 37. Verse 37 says this, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is likened to this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets. Now here's what he's saying, love me supremely. Let me be first, let me have first place. Give me all the affection and love you can give to me. Now, when you take love that's due the Lord and give it to something else, you've stolen from Him. You've stolen from Him. And we have and you can never measure that. I could never come back to Brother Bud and say, Brother Bud, you just don't love God right. You're not loving with all your... I can't measure that. That's something you have to measure. That's something you have to... Let me ask you this. Do you love God like you ought to? Is He first? Do you love Him supremely? If it come down to the job or God, who gets... I'm not talking about if you have to work on Sunday. There's policemen and nurses and factory workers and all that stuff. But if you have a choice, if it's a choice in your life, and it comes down to God or making an extra dollar or two for whatever reason, who comes first? Now, if you have to work, I'm not fussing about that. I'm talking about when it's purely optional, who comes first? What do you love the most? I've seen folks love their job more than they love God. I know a man that was in a good church, serving God, doing well. His company promoted him, moved him to Georgia, got down in Georgia, couldn't find a church to suit him in the areas he was in. Make a long story short, his marriage fell apart. He disbanded. You know, he was told before he left, you better be sure you have a good church. But that job promotion is more important than the Lord. I'm not against promotions. Please don't run me in the ditch on this. I'm just saying he loved the job the most. I've seen people quit church over their children. They've quit a good church because somebody said something to the child. My goodness. If you want to quit Ridgeview Baptist Church, you can quit tonight. There'll be something said to hurt your feelings. I mean, somebody will cross you some way. Or maybe it might take you 2 or 3 weeks, but I mean, if you want to find a fault, you don't have to look very deep. What I'm trying to say is don't love you. And I know we're to love our children, but don't let them come between you and the Lord. There's a particular family that's coming to my mind right now, and because of he eventually left the church and he died out, but he quit church, a good church, because somebody said something about his boy. You see, he didn't love the Lord like he ought to. And I could go through, you could go through a whole list. Pick whatever you want to pick. When you take the love God wants you to give to Him and you give it to something else, I think you're stealing. I think you ought to stop and think about that a little bit. He said, you've robbed me because you've not given me the tithes and offerings. You've not given me what's rightfully mine. And when we don't give God the love that's rightfully His, we've robbed Him. What about the commitment and the consecration? Let me read something to you. It don't even cross our minds half the time. I don't think. Revelations chapter, the Laodicean. Where is it at? About the lukewarmness. Chapter 3. He said this, I know thy works. So we're talking about consecration. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. And we could say that a different way, and you've all heard what I'm telling you. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I know that. But here's what God said. I hate lukewarmness so much it makes me want to throw up. I can't stand the taste of it. But then, let me just ask you, are you lukewarm? God hates it. He don't hate you if you're lukewarm, but He hates lukewarmness. That speaks to me of consecration, commitment. Are we just casual Christians? That's the great sin of the age, just casual Christians. I mean, we just squeeze God in when we get a chance to. If I can get you in the schedule, we'll serve you. I don't believe God's pleased with that, folks. I believe He deserves a consecration and a commitment that many of us is not giving. I don't know. I'm just telling you what God gave me. I'm just giving you what God gave me. You see, God, He brings us together and He gives everybody different abilities and talents. He gives everybody different. We're all wired a little different to do a different work. And He gives this church a work to do. And when you're just lukewarm, we're just doing a lukewarm work. Now, I'm so proud of our visitation. We've got about 8 guys who's been here 2 or 3 weeks, maybe in a row. But we've got 100 people in this church, and we can get 8 out to visitation and about 8 out to prayer on Saturday night. And really, there really ain't no reason we couldn't do better. And I'm not throwing off on you. I'm thankful for what we've got. But are you consecrated? Or would you be one of them lukewarms that God just spit out of His mouth and couldn't fellowship with? I'm afraid if we don't give him the consecration and the commitment that that's rightfully deserving to him, I'm afraid we're robbing from him. And really, let's just go. I started to go here a while ago. We rob him on our time, do we not? Here's what I'd rather do. This is me. I'd rather give $25 as give 2 hours of my time. My time is so valuable. I mean, my time, I don't just have time to sit around. I've got 1,000 things to do. And you do too. If you'll be honest, in this world we live in, if you function and you live in this world, you've got more things to do and you've got time to do them. I really think it's a trick of the devil. I really think it's one of his tactics to hinder us and keep us from doing the work of God. I believe that. But really, you can't serve God without giving him some time. And I've got more time to serve than many of y'all being full time. I mean, I know I can. I'll have more to give an account of than y'all will, but you're going to have something to give an account of. How much time can you give the Lord? I've asked that before. I specifically asked, how many hours can you give me? Well, I don't know, preacher. I'm not sure about that. How many hours can you give to the work of the Lord? In a week's time, can you give 10 hours? I'm not talking about to the Sunday worship service. I'm just talking about serving God. Can you give 10 hours? That'd be a little less than 2 hours on a 6-day week. I don't know. Some probably can't. I suspect some are so busy you can't. But y'all try to get unbusy. If that's a word. Y'all try to slow up. It may be you're robbing God. He may be expecting some of your time. In fact, I know he is. I see people that say they want to serve God. They don't have time to serve God. I mean, it's just how it is. They just don't have time. I don't argue with them because they're right. They don't have time. You can't serve God if you don't have time. You got to have some time to give to Him. It's just the facts of the matter. And so what you have to do if you don't have it, you start having to try to figure out, can I get some time for Him? What do I have to do to be able to give Him some time? And then you have to start moving that. You have to redeem the time. Can I tell you? You have to sell off some things to make some time available for it. That's what redeeming. You trade something in and you get something. You trade in an activity and you get 6 hours that you spend on that activity. And that time can go to the Lord. You got to do it. You can't serve God without time. He demands some time. If you're going to serve Him, you got to give Him some time. I'm afraid we steal His time every now and then. I'm just telling you what I think. I'm using the precept of Malachi 3. Hey, you've robbed me. You've not given me what's mine. And then I think we rob him in his lordship. He wants to tell you what to do. Our God wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your master, your boss. He wants to run your life. He wants to direct and tell you and guide you through this life. He don't want you making the decisions. He wants to make the decisions. He is Lord. He's Lord and Savior. That's what the Bible says. He's Lord and Savior. And can I say to you? Well, Proverbs 3 teaches us that, doesn't it? Let me go over there and read that to you. Just something we teach the children. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's easy preaching, hard living. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. we figure our own problems out, don't we? Hey, I know, preacher. You don't understand. I know what I need to do. I have the answers. But here's what the Bible says, lean on to thine own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. Every way you have, just say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge Him. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him. And He might direct thy paths. He possibly will direct thy paths. No, it's a positive. It says this, and He shall direct thy paths. I can tell you this much. There's been times in my life when I've been living right. I've been with the Lord, make the best decision I know how, just by faith, thinking it's what God wants, and look back and see that God had His hand in it all the time. These decisions I've made, not knowing if I've made the right one or not, but just by faith, asking God to, with His unseen hand to just move me in the direction He wants me to go. And I look back, and can I say He's been faithful? He's been faithful. Amen. I'll tell you where I've gotten troubles when I've started figuring everything out. I've started, Brother Miller, I've made the decision, and I know what's right. My understanding's in control. That's when I shipwrecked. That's when I've gotten sideways with God. Well, I just say, Lord, I ain't got sense enough to know what needs to be done. Just please help me. Please direct me. Whatever you want, that's what I want. It's then that I can look back and see the faithfulness of a holy God to me. Well, I say glory to God. Let Him be Lord. And I want to tell you young folk, let Him be Lord of your life. Let him guide and direct. And if you'll accept this, boss you around, let Him be in charge. You'll never be sorry. You'll never be sorry. Well, we can steal. I shall not steal. We can steal from the Lord. From the Lord, we steal His money, we steal His love, we steal His consecration that's due to Him, His commitment, we steal His time, and we steal His lordship. And there's probably a handful of others if you just, you Bible students, just sit back there and spit them out. But just some the Lord give me. And here's what I'm saying to you. Work hard at not being a God robber. Don't rob God. And I know that's harsh language, but really that's what God said they were doing. You say, well, all they was doing was holding their tithe back and their offerings. God said, you robbed me. You stole from me. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't want to steal nothing from the Lord. And I have. I can look at some of these things, and I know there's been times I've been lukewarm. There's been times I've not been as consecrated as I need to be. I still struggle at times loving Him like I ought to. There's times if I just allow myself, I'd get too busy for God. I've got a list of things to do in our house. It took up a whole notebook sheet of paper. It just wearies me to look at it. It does. I could easily get too busy for God. I can easily, it's real easy for me to just take charge and start just doing things based on my own thinking, my own understanding. What I'm saying to you tonight, be focused about this thing of stealing from God. Don't steal from Him. Everything you have, He give it to you. Save for the grace of God, we could be over there in the inner city sleeping in a cardboard box tonight. You say, not me. Yeah, you could be. You could be. The old king went from the palace out to the pasture field, didn't he? He's so exalted and said, look what I've done. Look at this great kingdom. Lord, just let him live like an animal for, what was it, 7 years? So many years anyway, however long it was. Well, he's humble when he come back around. He sure humbled his heart. I'm going to tell you, we ain't nothing. We wouldn't have nothing. We wouldn't be nothing. Save for the grace of God. Can I tell you, we owe him everything. He's worthy of everything. If we had to go down to the bank and sign our house over to the Lord, and if we had to give our cars over to the Lord, and what little money we have over the Lord, can I tell you, we still wouldn't even come close to returning what he's done for us. That's right. I'm telling you right. We owe him everything, and we ought to work hard as much as in us is to give God what's rightfully his. Well, I'll do that. I want him to have. I've told him. It seems like it's bragging. It ain't bragging. There's times I would struggle with it, but deep in my soul, I want him to use my vehicle for his glory. I wanted to use my house for his glory. Some way, I just wanted to get glory out of everything I have. Can I tell you what you're going to do? One day you're going to lay down, die, and leave it all anyways. What's it going to matter then? And I know you can consider the ant, be wise. You need to take care of the future. I'm not saying that. You do what you have to do. But just be sensitive to the Spirit of God. When He deals with you, just if He says give it up, just give it up. God will bless you for it. He'll bless you for it. Don't steal from him. If it's due him, give it to him tonight. Well, that's my little message. I've got some other stealings. You can steal from your family. You can steal from your family. You can steal from your spouse. You can steal from your church. You can steal from one another. There's things that you're obligated to do towards one another. If you don't do it, you're stealing. If you're in debt and you don't pay it, you're stealing. And my, I don't know if you understand it, but we're all under obligation tonight. We're under obligation. Well, I'm through. Let's get a verse of a song, Brother Allen. Let's do give an invitation tonight. I don't know. Maybe somebody, God spoke to the heart tonight. If he did, please be obedient. And